The story is told about a man whose name was Edward Spencer. He was attending Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. He was an accomplished athlete in his day, being one of the very first people to ever win a gold medal for the United States in the Olympic Games. And the campus of Northwestern University is bordered on one side by Lake Michigan. And one night, as Edward was doing his studies in the library, a terrible storm began to brew outside. All of a sudden, a group of students came rushing into the school. They were shouting, "The Lady Elgin has just been thrown into the rocks and it's beginning to sink." Edward ran out from the library as fast as he could to the lake, and he saw that the situation was very, very serious. People were in grave danger of drowning. Without a moment's hesitation, he got rid of any extra clothing that might hinder him in any of his rescue attempts, and he dove into those fierce waves, looking for any person that he might be able to save. And he managed to reach the ship, and fighting his way back through the rough storm, he brought the first person to safety. He went back again and again and again and again, and even brought more people to the safety of the shores. And somebody then yelled to him, "Ed, you've done everything that you can. You've got to stop. You're going to kill yourself if you try to save any more." But Edward's reply was this: "I've got to do my best." He dove in again and brought another person to safety, and still another, and still another, and still another, until he had rescued a total of 17 people. He couldn't go any further, and finally he fell unconscious on the shore. All through that night, as he was lying down in that hospital bed, he kept asking his friends the following question: "Guys, did I do my best? Did I really and truly do my best?" I mean, I think we'd all agree that Edward Spencer had surely done his best, and way beyond what most people would ever have done in those kinds of circumstances. But the experience of that night cost him his health. He was never the same again from a physical perspective. Years later, inspired by that very story, a young man by the name of Edwin Young wrote the following hymn: "Have I done my best for Jesus?" It reads as follows: "I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon that cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I've lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when he's done so much for me? The hours that I've wasted are so many, the hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. No longer will I stay within the valley, I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. How many are the lost that I've lifted, how many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when he has done so much for me?" If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and I want to read the first 9 verses. Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 1 and reading down to verse 9. Mark 14. Mark 14, beginning at verse 1. "It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him, for they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people.' And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, 'Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they scolded her. But Jesus said, 'Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you'll not always have me. She has done what she could, She's anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Isn't that an amazing statement that Jesus makes in verse 8? She has done what she could. I think the question that we all need to ask ourselves tonight in light of this is this: have I done my best for Jesus? Have I done all that I can? Have I done that? And Simon the leper provided a feast in his house out of great gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ for all the blessings that he'd received. Jesus was there as well as his disciples and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. They were all there. They're all present. And suddenly Mary moves towards Jesus. Now we know that it's Mary because of what we read in John chapter 12. It was read earlier on by Pastor Noel. She had an alabaster jar that was full of very expensive perfume in her hands. That's what the text says. Look at verse 3 of Mark 14. "And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it out over his head." And so Mary broke this jar and she poured out all of the contents on Jesus' head and on his feet, and she anointed him. And that perfume, as I already said, was worth a lot of money. And what Mary did created quite a stir among those who were there. Take a look at verses 4 and 5. "There were some who said to themselves indignantly or angrily, 'Why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, or about $6,000 is what he's saying there. It could have been given to the poor. And they scolded her. And some of these people were very upset with Mary, and they weren't very nice in their comments towards her. And it's not surprising to me that Judas Iscariot was the one who led that charge, because he was a thief and he wanted the money for himself. But I ask myself this question: what does Mary's act signify? What does it really mean? What does it teach us as God's people? With all of my heart, I believe that it meant that she was giving her best for Jesus Christ. It means that she was giving her all to him. As she broke that jar and as she poured out all of its contents on his head and on his feet, it's as if she was saying, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite, Lord, would I withhold. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee." I believe with all my heart that that's exactly what Mary was doing. In those days, every young woman would prepare a jar, a very precious and expensive perfume. And they would keep it until the time came when the man that they loved asked them to marry him. And if she was willing to give that man all of her love, all of her life, all of her devotion, she would take that jar that she had saved for so long, and she would then break it and pour out all the contents at the feet of this man that she was pledged to. No matter how expensive the jar was, no matter how much it cost to put that perfume in there, it was considered her very best. And that's what she was willing to give to the man that she would spend the rest of her life with. That's exactly what Mary did to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, do you not understand the significance of what she was doing? She was pledging her all to him. She was giving her best to Christ. She was identifying herself completely with the Lord that she knew would die for her sins. We don't have alabaster jars that are full of very expensive perfume. And I don't think that's what Jesus is looking for. And so what can you and I give to the Lord Jesus Christ if we claim to love him even as Mary loved him? What can we give to him? Were there at least three things I believe that we can all give to the Lord Jesus? And the first of those is this: we can give Christ, friends, the best of our love. We can give Him the best of our love. Do you remember what Jesus says to Peter in John chapter 21? It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? What does Peter say? He says, yes, Lord. He says, you know that I love you, Jesus. You know that. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. If you think that of everything that had happened in the Apostle Peter's life up until this point, and especially in his denials of the Savior, this is probably not the first question that we would expect Jesus to ask, is it? We might have expected him to ask this, Peter, do you really believe in me? Or Peter, are you really, really sorry for what you did? Or Peter, are you ready to make up for all of your mistakes? But that's not what Jesus asked. Instead, Jesus looks at Peter in the eyes and he asks Peter, Peter, do you truly love me? And in asking that question, Jesus Christ reveals to us exactly what it is that he requires of us. Exactly what it is that he compels from us, right? That question gets right to the heart of the matter. It deals with a central issue between us and Jesus Christ. Do we really and truly love Him, or do we really and truly only love ourselves? More than anything else in this entire world, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ desires. He desires the best of our love. That's what He wants. And that's precisely what Mary gave to Jesus. She gave Jesus the best of her love, and you and I have got to be willing to do the very same thing. You remember what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew? Anyone who loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. John says it like this in his epistle, do not love the world or anything that is in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world, and the world and its desires are passing away. But what? But the man who does the will of God lives forever. We must love Jesus Christ. What is the greatest commandment that God has given us in His Word? What is the summation of all the law and the prophets together? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mary gave Jesus Christ the best of her love. And you and I need to do the very same thing. So I want to ask you tonight, dear people of God, do you truly love the Lord Jesus Christ? More than anyone or more than anything else in this world, do you love Jesus more than these? A.W. Tozer certainly understood the impact of Christ's searching question when he wrote down these words onto a piece of paper. Father, I want to know Thee, but my coward heart fears to give up its toys. I cannot part with them without inward bleeding, and I do not try to hide from Thee the terror of the parting. I come trembling, but I do come. Please root from my heart all those things that I have cherished for so long and which have become a very part of my living self, so that You may enter in and dwell therein without a rival. Then shalt Thou make the place of Thy feet glorious. Then shall my heart have no need of the sun to shine in it, for You Yourself will be the light of it, and there will be no night there. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we love Him? Do we truly love Him? And not only can we give Jesus the best of our love, but I also think that we can give Jesus the best of our years. What a privilege it is for us to give the Lord Jesus Christ the whole of our lives, in all of its freshness, in all of its strength. Is Jesus not worthy of our best? The Bible says in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is how you worship me. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to me. This is how you worship God. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach you when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. I've spoken to a lot of you seniors. I know the aches and pains you have. Sometimes the senior years are not pleasurable, are they? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It is possible to know the Lord Jesus Christ and yet to still keep the best of our strength and the best of our time to ourselves. To ourselves. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Guys, we need to give Christ the best of our love. Yes, we do. But we also need to give Him the best of our years and not just the leftovers. Is that what we're doing? Do you remember how Edwin Young said it in his hymn? The hours that I've wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ are so few. Because of all of my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if His heart is breaking too. Have we given Christ the best of our years? When God was calling me out of the police force to become a pastor, one of the criticisms that I received from so many of my fellow officers was, Jacques, you are such a fool. 17 years on the job and you're walking away from it? Stay for another 13 years. Then you can serve God after that. And I came to understand, no, I can't do that. I don't want to give God the leftovers of my life. Not only can we give Christ the best of our love and the best of our years, but we can also give Him the best of our talents. Every believer has a talent. Every believer has a spiritual gift. The Bible clearly teaches us that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We all have a spiritual gift. We all have a talent. And whatever that gift or talent is, the Lord wants to use it. And He wants to use us for His glory. If you and I would only place our gifts and talents at the feet of Christ and yield ourselves completely to Him and hold nothing back, God would use us in such great and marvelous ways. Mary gave Jesus her very best. The question that faces us as those redeemed by God's grace is this: are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to give Jesus Christ the best of our love? Are we willing to give Jesus Christ the best of the time we have left? And are we willing to give Jesus Christ the best of the talents He's given to us? Are we willing to give Him our very best? Now why? Why? Why should we give our best to the Lord Jesus Christ? And why should we ever want to do that? Let me suggest three reasons. First, we should give Christ our very best because Jesus is worthy of our best. I mean, who is He? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the eternal Son of God, is He not? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the eternal Son of God. And not only is Jesus Christ the eternal Son of God, but He's also the Lord of glory. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says. None of the rulers of this age understood it, because if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. And number three, not only is He the eternal Son of God and the Lord of glory, but He's also our Savior and Redeemer. Paul says this, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now listen, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Why should we give our best to Jesus Christ? We should do so because Christ is the eternal Son of God, because Christ Himself is the Lord of glory, and because He is the Savior and Redeemer of our souls. And the second reason that we should give Jesus our best is not only because He's worthy of our best, but it's because He's given His best for us. Christ shed His blood at Calvary so that you and I might be saved from our sins. The Bible says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, excuse me, a lamb without blemish or defect." He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sakes. That's why we should give Him our best, right? Well, let me ask you, what is it that we're saved from? Well, we're certainly not saved from suffering, are we? We're not saved from suffering. Hospitals and nursing homes are filled with believers. We all suffer, every single one of us. Nowhere does the Bible teach us that Christians will not suffer. In fact, Jesus said this, "I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble," He said. "You will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So we are not saved from suffering. Clearly, that the Bible teaches us that. Neither are we saved from sorrow. Believers shed tears. Believers experience times of great sadness. We all know what it's like to lose a loved one. Those things hurt. Those things cause great pain. Those things we are not spared from. At some point of time, you and I will all experience great sadness in our lives. The Bible says, "For His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping might remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." And neither are we saved from shame. Christians will suffer for their faith. The Bible says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And so as believers, you are not, and I are not saved from suffering or from sorrow or from shame. We are saved from what? We are saved from our sins. God is holy and He's just. And the Bible teaches that we are sinful. It teaches that Christ Himself is the Savior and Redeemer of our souls. And it teaches us that salvation is free. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. We are saved from sin. We're also saved from self, are we not? Jesus said, "If you would come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me." And not only are we saved from sin and from self, but we're also saved from Satan. The Bible says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. And so all of these benefits come to us through Jesus Christ. My point is this, we should give Christ our best because Christ Himself has given us His very best. Jesus shed His blood for us at the cross so that you and I might be saved from sin and from self and from Satan, and so that we might be eternally restored to a right relationship with God the Father. How could we do any less? You think of the great love of Jesus Christ and you ask yourself this question, is Christ not worthy of my best? It's only when Mary realized what Jesus had given and what Christ was about to give that she was willing to give her best to Him. Look at Mark 14 verse 8. Listen to what Jesus says. Mark 14 verse 8. "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial." She got it. She understood what Christ was going to do. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "It is the love of Christ that compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again." We should give our best to Jesus Christ because He's worthy of our best and because He's given His very best for us. And the third reason that we should give our best for Jesus is because it's only by giving Him our best that we ourselves will enjoy His best. I'm convinced that this is probably one of the most happiest moments in Mary's entire life. It must have been. I think she must have experienced a joy that was unspeakable and full of glory as she was pouring out that perfume at the feet of Jesus Christ. It is only when we surrender ourselves completely to the Lordship and to the kingly rule of Jesus Christ that you and I actually enjoy the glory of His presence and that He becomes so very precious to us. You remember what Jesus says in John chapter 14? He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. You remember that? Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Now listen to what he says after that. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him, he says. And I will what? I will show myself to him. I will show myself to her. We all know what it's like as Christians when we're not giving our best to Jesus Christ. If there's any sin in our lives that we're not willing to confess or give up. If there's any part of our lives that we're not willing to surrender. Doors of our closets that we're not willing to open up. Then we can be so very miserable. Is that not true? Do you know what I'm talking about? But when you and I surrender everything, when we yield our all, when we surrender our wills to Him, when we give Christ our very best, that's when we begin to truly enjoy the blessings of His very best for us. Jesus said it, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me is going to be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and I will show myself to him. What can we give to the Lord Jesus Christ? We can give Him the best of our love. We can give Him the best of our years. And we can give Him the best of our talents. And why should we give our best to the Lord Jesus Christ? We should do so because Christ is worthy of our best. Because He's given His best for us. It's because it's only when we do give Him our best that we enjoy His best. And I have one more question that I want to ask Him. With this question, I'm going to close. And that question is this. What will the result be when we do give our best to Jesus Christ? What will the result be? First, let me say that some people are going to object. Some people are going to object. They're not going to like it in the least. It will not make you very popular in this world if you decide to give your best to Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Mary, is it not? I mean, as soon as she gave her best to Christ, as soon as she surrendered her all to Him, she was immediately met with all kinds of opposition. Take a look at it in verses 4 and 5 of Mark 14. Look at it. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they, what? They scolded her. You see the very same thing in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 5. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. You see the very same thing in the Gospel of Matthew. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. They were angry with Mary. Why this waste? They asked. Guys, do we honestly believe that giving our best to Jesus Christ is going to win us all kinds of friends in this world? We know that's not the case. Jesus said, if they hated me, what are they going to? They're going to hate you as well. But if they listen to me, they're going to listen to you too. If you decide to give your best to Jesus Christ, be assured you will face opposition in this world. You're not going to be popular in your workplace. You're not going to be popular in your school. You're not going to be popular in your neighborhood. People are not going to like you because they don't like Christ. So some people are going to object. The second result of giving our best to Jesus Christ is that Christ Himself is going to be pleased with us. We might face the opposition of this world. We might face even the opposition of those who are religious, but they're lost. But guys, guess what? We are going to be met with the smile and the gracious words of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at Mark 14, verse 6. Look at it. What does Jesus do when Mary faces her opposition? What does He do? He says, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Guys, I want to tell you something tonight. The greatest thing in life is to have the commendation of God, is it not? And it's to seek to live our lives for His glory. The Bible says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul says this, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. It doesn't matter what others think. It doesn't matter what others might say about us. It doesn't matter what others might even do to us, as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased with us. That's what really matters in the end, is it not? In the end, that's all that's going to matter. Has God been pleased with the way that I've lived my life? Has God been pleased? Have I put a smile on my Father's face? Has Jesus stood up and said, leave my servant alone? We should be seeking to live our lives for His glory and for His pleasure and not for worldly approval. I think the third result of giving our best to Jesus Christ will be that others, guys, listen to me, others are going to be helped. Others are going to be helped. What a marvelous result there was from Mary's simple act of devotion and dedication to Christ. Look at Mark 14, verse 9. Look at what Jesus says. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Tonight, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What Mary did has been told to you tonight. What Jesus said has come to pass. Listen to me. Who can estimate the far-reaching influence of one life that is utterly and completely surrendered to Jesus Christ? Who can estimate that? Think of the influence of a man like Eric Liddell, a missionary who died serving Jesus Christ on the mission field in China. Arnold Brightson from the London Missionary Society was quoted as saying this, yesterday a man said to me, of all the men that I've known, Eric Liddell was the one in whose character and life the Spirit of Jesus Christ was supremely manifested. All of us who were privileged to know him with any intimacy echo this judgment. What was the secret of his consecrated life and his far-reaching influence? Absolute surrender to God's will as revealed in Jesus Christ. His was a God-controlled life, and he followed his Master and Lord with a devotion that never flagged and with an intensity of purpose that made men see both the reality and power of true religion. And D.P. Thompson, who was a very close friend of Liddell, in his first biography, said this, never in the years that we worked together, in shadow or in sunshine, in times of testing and difficulty, in hours of exhilarating triumph, did I hear him say or know him to do anything of which I can imagine Christ would have disapproved. His was the most consistent Christian character, as well as one of the most attractive and winning of personalities of any man that I've ever known intimately. With all of it went his unfailing sense of humor, that smiling face with the twinkling of blue eyes. His character, his readiness to help personally at the cost of any inconvenience or self-sacrifice, his wish that others and not he himself should have the glory when success crowned his efforts, and his intense desire to be ever in the path of obedience to him to whom he had given his all. Athlete, evangelist, missionary, friend, husband, and father, he has been missed as few men of his generation have been. By multitudes, he is remembered with affection and gratitude as one in whose life they saw so much of the strength and beauty of Jesus Christ. Even his own wife said this, I feel that Eric and I had as much happiness in our few short years together, not quite 11, as many couples have had in an entire lifetime. And I thank God for the privilege of having been Eric's wife. I only hope and pray that my children will take after Eric and follow him in their master's footsteps. Who can estimate the far-reaching influence of one single life that is utterly and completely surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Who can estimate something like that? Is your life completely given to Him? Let me ask you those three questions again. What can we give, friends, to the Lord Jesus Christ? We can give Him the best of our love. We can give Him the best of our years. We can give Him the best of our talents. Why should we give our best to the Lord Jesus Christ? We should give Him our best because He's worthy of our best and because He gave His best for us. And it's because it's only by giving Him our best that we will enjoy His best. And what will the result be of giving our best to Jesus Christ? Some people are going to object. Jesus is going to be pleased. And others are going to be blessed and helped by your life. My question to you and my question to myself tonight in the presence of God is this. Will we give Jesus Christ our best? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You tonight only because You first loved us. But forgive us, Lord Jesus, for having so many other loves that rival our love for You. With A.W. Tozer, we pray that You would take from our hearts anything that would want to have first place in our lives and give us the grace to give You the best of our love. Give us the grace to give You the best of our years. Give us the grace to give You the best of our talents because You are worthy of our best. Because You've given Your best for us. And because, Lord Jesus, it's only by giving You our best that we will enjoy Your best. And though others may object, we know that You Yourself will be pleased, that many will be helped. Jesus, we are willing to surrender all to You. In Your name we pray. Amen.